up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on BS3Network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Folks, back on the Boss Man Show, in front of the show, you see him on the screen there, Coach Rob Jones, Norfolk State, got Big Andy Marcus Howard. Good to talk to you, brother. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. You know, another season. Happy to be here.
No doubt, man. Hey, you doing great so far, man. 13-8 on the year, 6-1 at home, 3-1 in the MEAC. So for you, Coach Rob, man, kind of give me your assessment of the year so far, man. How you feeling about your team, man, what you've accomplished these first 21 games so far?
I mean, you know, it's crazy, man. 21 games that went by fast. You know, we only got 10 left at this point, plus the, you know, MEAC tournament, hopefully some postseason play. But through the first 21, you know, of course, I'm, as a competitor, going to say that we should be, you know, even better than what 13-8. And because I think there's some games that we dropped that we probably shouldn't have dropped. But also at the same time with a relatively new team or people in new roles, I should say, you know, 13-8 against some, you know, we had some good wins against James Madison, High Point. You know, we stuck in there against Tennessee and stuff like that. So we had some good games in the non-conference. So, you know, I should be pleased with where we at right now.
Now, Coach Rob, you kind of read my mind. I want to ask you about that. You were competitive at Stanford, at Baylor, at Tennessee. Coach Barnes is a heck of a job. Number one team in the country right now. Got my cousin on their team. Lanier's on their team as well. So, so talk about your team battling against these tough opponents, these powerful conferences, and your guys stood in there, and what you do schematically, how your guys play hard as heck, man, it really acquitted themselves very, very well.
Yeah, man, you know, like a game like against Stanford is one of the games that I'm mad that we shouldn't have got, that we should have got, you know, like that should have been win 14 right there. You know, like we battled all the way to the end and just kind of lost it in the end a little bit. But yeah, just, you know, it's an ACC team, obviously, and they, you know, they had some ACC wins and things like that. So it just shows what kind of team we had. And of course, with Baylor was a great first half. It was probably a great 5 minutes of the second half too, and then things kind of fell apart. But once again, Baylor's a top 25 team, and then with Tennessee being number one in the country at the time we played them, I mean, that was a game throughout. So that was like, you know, throughout the whole game, we were in there battling tooth and nail, and it was good to see like what kind of team that we can be. If we really put it all together. And also, with playing a team like Tennessee, Baylor, if you're fortunate enough to get into the NCAA tournament, it's like you shouldn't be like – it's not going to be a shell shock because you already kind of played those kind of teams already, you know?
It kind of read my mind, Rob. I said – I was head on my list here to talk to you about, like, playing those games, preparing you for if you were 16 seed or 15 or 14 seed, hopefully, that you don't have to play the play-in game, that, hey – you can compete with this team because you've done it already. Could have won on Stanford, played with Baylor, yeah. So it shouldn't be a shock to your team in March if you make win the MEAC. So say, hey, you've already done this before. I kind of like you just mentioned right there.
No, without question. You know, it's like a dress rehearsal. You know what I mean? For like the NCAA tournament. So Like I told the guys, we didn't necessarily pass our dress rehearsal the first time, but hopefully it gave us a good you know, just a good standing of where we at, you know. And now if we're able to do it again, I think that we can, you know, be okay in those kind of settings.
And you had a Christmas break here, man. So let me ask you this, Coach Rob, like, how do you use that to kind of rest and recover your guys and kind of also do some self-scouting a bit with you and your staff, kind of trying to figure out what to refocus on as the MEAC gets started here?
Yeah, you know, the MEAC schedule is very unique now with only 8 teams trying to stretch it out, the whole season. So we get a break. You know, we had a break in conference play. You know, I forgot the last time we played conference game. A week or two ago, whatever we played. But you know, we did have a non-Division I Washington Venice, which we kind of filled in so we could stay in game rhythm a little bit. But after we play Howard, then we don't play Monday. And then we play Saturday, Monday. Do we get another break? Like we say, all-star break, you know, try to retool and get things together. So it's almost like two all-star breaks in the schedule now, being there's only 8 teams in the conference. But yeah, I was able to retool, kind of get a little rest, which we need, and I think every team kind of needs, you know, get healthy. And so it's good, you know. You want to play as much as you can, but at the same time, I guess some rest is needed. So it was good to get a couple extra days of rest that we normally wouldn't have.
Now, do you plan on adding another game? If, I was asking about that too. In February, if you don't play from the 3rd to the 15th, maybe adding a game just kind of keep your guys in game rhythm a little bit.
No, we actually had our maximum now because we added a game this time. So it was like you almost got to choose when to add the game, either add it this time or next time. So we're going to choose next time to use it as more rest. And retooling, then this time is kind of staying game rhythm. So, you know, these are, you know, I mean, you know how it go, man. These first seven is important, man. It's like if you can finish right now, you know, we got one loss, unfortunately, but if you're able to finish like 6-1 in the first seven, it really kind of sets you up well for the last seven, because usually 6-1 is gonna, because everybody beats up on each other. You know, if you could get 6-1, you're probably gonna have at least one game lead, if not a two game, you know, lead or even more over the next opponent with 7 games left. You know what I mean? It's like it's always a game within the game, you know. So it's like we know that these first seven are extremely important. So we wanted to keep game rhythm this first seven and then catch a little rest on the back end for the last seven.
Because, yeah, man, you kind of like you said, you want to be peaking when it's time for that tournament at the Scope, playing your best
Yeah.
basketball. You don't want to burn them out now. The college basketball being pretty much a June to March thing. You got to make sure you kind of get it where you can so guys aren't burnt out and they're not injured when you need them the most.
No, no question. You know, college basketball, man, it's crazy because, like it says, like, you know, you cut it short, like you said, June to March, man. People start doing stuff again, like in May. So it's like June to March. Some people start in April. Then it gets back going, like in May or June, and then you back right at it. It's really like basketball's become, and I know, like years ago, they changed the rules to have like all these summer workouts and things like that are permissible and all stuff like that. But it's really, you really make it as a year-round sport. And I'm not quite sure how fair that is to the kids or even like the coaches who do this stuff, because you have no time really for nothing else besides basketball, you know. And I think everybody needs a break from, you know, I need a break from my players, the players probably need a break from me, you know. It's like this has turned into a year-round thing now at this point.
No doubt, man. Also, like you said, also this new environment, Rob, is like every year you have a new team. It's kind of like you're JUCO-ing it up a little bit, having new guys every year. So talk about the good part about the June thing is the all year round that you can kind of build the chemistry with those new guys, with your returning guys. But at the same time, it causes that schedule where you don't have a break as well. But with the way everybody transfer portaling in or bringing new guys in, you gotta get camaraderie somewhere, somehow, some way. So it kind of benefits you there in that way, at least.
Yeah, I would say, man, now Division I basketball, I guess the Division II to a certain extent too, but it's like a glorified JUCO at this point, because you get like, yeah, you got the glitz and glamour of being on television and maybe a couple of extra amenities, but you're really just doing what a JUCO coach does, you know. And I think I have, I mean, I respect coaches on all levels, AAU all the way up to, you know, NBA, but I think I've gained more respect for the JUCO coach recently than maybe I had even before, you know, because it's like the turnover that you have from year to year. Because I mean, some years you almost have a whole new team, you know what I mean? It's like it's no longer the days of, all right, he's a freshman, he's going to turn to be a sophomore by his junior year, he's going to be cooking. Senior year, he's going to be, you know, really good. It's like you got the kids are what they are for this year, because you don't know who's coming back. You know, from your best players might leave, your worst players might leave. You know, like you just don't know who's coming back, which is like crazy, you know?
No doubt, man. You got three studs, man, having double figures in Brian, Christian, and Jalen. Talk about these young men individually, kind of what they mean to your team and how happy you are with their development on the court for you and what you all want to do and how you all play at Norfolk State.
I mean, you know, it's so crazy with Brian, Ings, and Jalen. You know, two out of those three guys are new guys. So it's like, you know, Brian is probably exceeding what we thought he was going to do. But I guess Jamari Thomas last year kind of did the same thing. So it's almost like a plug-and-play type thing with those two guys. And then Jalen is really exceeding because Jalen, we knew he was going to be good, but we didn't know how good. And he's now a double-figure scorer. I mean, basically our third option at this point. So with that being said, it's like, you know, those guys are, you know, really carrying the load. And granted, we do got a lot of other guys around that seven to, you know, that a lot of guys in that 7-point range, 6-point range, five, you know. So there's a lot of guys that can do something. I always say if you're averaging six or seven, that means there's some games you get, you know, probably more than not. A lot of times you get double figures. So even though you might not be a double figure scorer, if you were 7 or 6 point a game, you are very capable of getting double figures, you know. So I think it kind of puts the opponent at a situation that, yeah, you can't just key in on Brian, Philly, or Jalen. You know, you got to worry about the other guys too.
No doubt. You want to have options, man. You know what, Rob, the way you play, man, it's kind of just read and react, man. Talk about getting guys with high IQ who can read the game and stuff. Do what the defense tell you to do. Because the defense is going to tell you to do with the ball. So you just got to do it and read it the right way and have optionality and not get stuck and stagnant and make predetermined reads before you do something.
Well, that's the thing that we always preach is that you got to be able to, like you said, read the game and react. You know, I can't make the defense do what I want them to do. You know what I mean? Like I might want you to get the hell out of the way, but I can't make you get out the way. You know, like I gotta react that, okay, oh, he did get out the way. Now I got to go and do, you know, something else. Or if he didn't get out the way, now I got to do something else. You know, it's like, it's a reaction game. It ain't, you know, you just can't just make the defense just do whatever you want to do. You can try, you know, but you still don't know what that defender's going to do. So, yeah, you definitely got to be able to read and react. You definitely got to have high IQ. And I think a lot of that is underrated when you're recruiting a kid, and also underrated when a lot of times when people are coaching. You know, like I think we do a lot of drills to, like, talk about IQ, you know, and try to enhance IQ as much as we can. You know, some of these guys we get too late in their career, so that the IQ is going to be what it's going to be. But, you know, for the most part, we try our best to try to enhance whatever they have going on.
No doubt. You're shooting well from 3 points as well, Rob, over 35%, man. So about that importance as well, shooting the ball and spacing the floor. So guys can't just have to pin against you. They have to come out and actually close out to you and defend. And you can blow by and get themselves reached, which we discussed with the high IQ.
Yeah, we shoot pretty well with three for overall. In conference play, we need to shoot a little better. But I think our offensive numbers have been pretty good this year. You know, like we shoot like almost 50% as a team, which is good. We shoot in over 50% in conference as a team, which is great. But I still want to turn the screws a little bit defensively. And I know it's hard to say because if you go to the MEAC stats, we like number one in defense in like mostly all the defensive categories per se. But it's still not the defense that I want to play. You know, it's like, you know, we're like giving up too much of a field goal percentage defense, I think. Too much of a field goal percentage to the other team. You know, we're giving up like 40-something percent. And mine, I always want to be like in the 30s, you know. Then I know we really play some good defense, you know. But we got to turn the screws a little bit on that for these, you know, next 10 games.
No doubt. And also, man, something I know you emphasize is rebounding as a collective, getting rebounds, in possession with rebounds, getting down in transition and get off the floor. So think about how important in drilling in and rebounding for your team is know, hey, offensively crash the boards, all defensively get them so we can get out and get in our stuff faster and with pace.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest word. I know that's the word at all in basketball is the pace. And pace is not always like shooting the ball fast. People get it messed up. Like shooting the ball fast is like pace. That's not pace. Pace is, you know, like you said, how fast can you get the ball from one end of the floor to the next? How fast can you run your sets? You know, that's pace. And that's what we're trying to keep doing. You know, like we're trying to, like I said, even though we're shooting almost 50% and over 50% in conference, people might think like, what are you talking about? You know, you're actually doing pretty good offensively. But once again, it's that strive for perfection. And so it's like, we want to get our pace, keep getting our pace up a little bit.
And also while playing with that pace, Rob, you also want to value that ball, limit turnovers. I think you're doing a good job, but I know you probably want to be a little bit better, but limit turnovers, valuing the ball, because when you have that ball, the program is in your hands, so you have the ball, so you have to value that thing.
Yeah, we're doing pretty well in turnovers. I mean, we were doing even better at the beginning. See, that's what's like a little disturbing somewhere, because it's like, you know, our conference is very good. Our conference is very underrated. You know, I think, you know, as you know, I know you cover everybody in the conference, so it's very underrated. But also, I think that we play some really good teams out of conference this year, and our turnover numbers are probably lower out of conference than it is in conference. And the thing I say is that I don't know if it's because like we feel more comfortable in conference. Like, okay, we can throw this pass, and if it's a turnover, we still can make it up or something. Like, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, and it's like out of conference that we can't do this play because it's going to be hard to like make up, you know, whatever the case may be. So we still trying to figure that out a little bit, but we definitely can get our turnovers down a little bit. But you know, it is at a good, it's a good number right now. You know, it's not like we're flipping it up like pancakes and you know, on the court. You know, we doing all right just with the turnovers.
No doubt, man. I want to ask you about tomorrow's game. Is Howard Kenny? We know he does a great job over there, man. You've had a lot of battles with Kenny and his teams over to Howard, man. So what are you seeing on film as you prepare for those guys tomorrow night? Tomorrow at your place, man.
Yeah. Kenny has done a good job turning the program around, man. You know, Howard. Even when Kenny first got there, honestly, but you know, even before Kenny got, like, no one thought about Howard, man. No one, like, if you played Howard, but like, no one would be excited about a Howard Norfolk State game tomorrow. You know, like, they was like the doormat. We used to beat them by 30, 20, 50, you know, stuff like that. Kenny has done a good job of turning around. You know, of course, Kenny winning the last two championships has been great. You know, actually, I guess you got two teams tomorrow that's won the last four championships in the MEAC, you know, so that's why people are interested in that game tomorrow. You know, that's why there's a lot of ticket sales and ticket interest that people call me. They haven't called me in 10 weeks for a ticket tomorrow. And I, you know, those people that called me, they haven't called me. I just say, no, I don't got none. You know, I just tell them that I don't got no tickets, man. But, you know, it's like, that's the interest, you know, because Kenny, you know, he has done a good job of turning the program around, you know. And with us right now, you know, I think that, yeah, I'm positive that, you know, we're the only team with a above 500 record in all the HBCU basketball. You know, I think that Southern is like 500 at least, or something like that, or whatever, and Hampton is 500. So, you know, we have like the best record of HBCU basketball. So, although that's the funny part, Boss Man, is that although Kenny and Howard have won like the last two MEAC tournaments, because of what the output that we keep putting out, you know what I mean? Like, we've had three straight 21 seasons. People almost forget that and still look at us like we're like the champs or something, you know, like because we're like the overall consistency, you know, there is. And right now, you know, we are the like number one rated team, you know, as far as like net ranking and KenPom and, like, you know, the rankings that matter, you know what I mean? Like, for the NCAA tournament, we have the highest of any HBCU in the country. So it's like kind of like we're like the number one HBCU in the country. And I think Howard probably knows that. Even though they are the reigning champs, they're going to take this game differently because they see us as probably number one, you know what I mean? So it's like, it's an interesting dynamic when you do have a good non-conference season, you know, and people are gunning for you and things like that, that they're gunning for you more than they even gunning for, you know, the champs.
No doubt, man. Hey, we talked about it last year too, man. When the coaches will come on the show, they will talk about, we want to beat you. Not Kenny. Yeah. They're talking about beating you, man. On the show talking to me.
That's crazy because I'm like, you know, yeah, granted, yeah, we just won a championship 2 years ago, so it hasn't been that long since we won a championship, whatever. But people look at the body of work of Norfolk State, right? And they're like, nah, those are the guys that we got to beat, you know, because we did win the regular season last year. So we did, like, win. So we were the best team, like, in the conference, you know, overall last year, you know. Now, I always say that conference tournament, man, you got to be good, but you also got to be lucky, too. The ball got to drop the right way for those 3 days, man. You know, let's just call a spade. You know, over those 3 months, you got to see who's the best team is. You know, when you got somebody, like we're talking about right now, gunning for you night in and night out for 3 months, and you got to come out on top. You know, that's tough. Like, them 3 days are tough, too, because you got to string together 3 days or whatever. But having somebody trying to beat you up for 3 months, like, you trying to get people trying to beat you up for 3 months, you know, like, stuff like that. It's like, you know, that's a long time. But with that being said, is that the guys got to understand the bullseye is still on their back. They're still a target. And as long as like these metrics in the rankings say that Norfolk State is number one still, people still gonna be thinking Norfolk State is number one. So we gotta do one. We gotta go out and show it. You know, that's it.
Rob, this year too, two coaches in your league have said your name before they said Howard's name already on this show. I'll tell you offline, but they have said your name on this show before they said Howard's name. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's crazy though, man. It's like, it's really like crazy. Cause even like, when we played Tennessee, right. You know, I'm rewatching the game and I'm actually watching the telecast, not like our actual game film. So I just cut on like, you know, ESPN plus the replay. Right. So I'm watching that and they're like, yeah, Norfolk State wins their league every year. You know, they're a tough team. And so I'm like, yeah, we technically didn't win the last 2 years. We didn't win the two, but we did win the regular season. So I guess, depending on what you're looking at, you can say they win their league every year. Could be we've won three out of the last four regular seasons or something like that. So I guess I understand to a certain extent. But once again, Kenny, and once again, I call a spade, Kenny is the champ right now. So, you know, gonna go after the champs, man. Leave me alone. You're the champs, man.
Hey, Rob, how's it been to have Coach Vic come in the fold, man, and with the football team now, man? How's it been to meet him a little bit, maybe know him, and see him, the attention he's bringing to you all's school now with him being on the football side there?
Well, honestly, I probably had a 30-second interaction with Coach Vic so far. I haven't seen him really around. I know they redoing, offices and stuff like that for him or whatever, whatever the case may be. So I'm sure that, he'll be around, a little bit more. Coming up very, 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 very soon. You know, he'll be around more. I know one or two of his coaches already from previous interactions. So they've been good. They want to, come and sit down and have a talk. But I'm sure Coach Vic eventually will come and sit down and talk to me about, really Norfolk State. Because, no matter what you think or what you are, you got to know your landscape right now. Like Michael Vick is, of course, one of the greatest football players, that people could think of, and stuff like that. But now that's the NFL. This is Norfolk State University. Like, you got to come figure out how to win at Norfolk State University. So, I see some of the recruits that he's got so far. They look very promising. So he's on the right path, right direction. Like I said, I'm sure that he'll come in and sit down and talk to me, soon about this MEAC thing, about what to do in the MEAC and everything like that. So, And if he does it, then that's cool too. I'm sure that he will and things like that. But we wish him all the luck, all the success, because there is a air of excitement about the football team right now. With him being in fold, football team, as we know, hasn't had a lot of success ever in Division I. So he has a chance to almost like create his own legacy, because there's not much of a legacy there, so he has a chance to create his own, write his own history, we're going to see what he does. But I think, like I said, I see some of the people that he's got so far, some of the recruits and stuff like that. So it seems like he's on a good path.
And it's cool that he's there at Norfolk State. Deshaun Jackson is a Delaware State, so kind of putting somebody on the MEAC, because the MEAC has been a historic conference. So getting somebody with those two on the football side, man, you on the basketball side with Kenny, stuff you got going. So just talk about the MEAC getting exposure, because it should be more than just us in the space we know about the MEAC, but people nationally can't really realize what the gem the MEAC really is.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like you said, Deshaun Jackson, Michael Vick, stuff like that, it's like, yeah, it doesn't really directly impact the basketball programs per se, because, we've been doing our thing a long time, and stuff. But I do think that it puts the name Norfolk State in people's, conversations, people's mouths a little bit more, with like Deshaun Jackson at Delaware State or Michael Vick at Norfolk State or whatever the case is. So that helps in that regard, that like the name is circulating a little bit more. Like I said, like the proof is in the pudding for us with basketball. You could just look at it and run down the accomplishments, and it could be Michael Vick or Michael Jordan. We still do our thing regardless. So, but I do think that it helps just keep the name circulating in the public eye. So now, when I do, as the basketball coach, come into a room as wearing my green and gold,
behold the green and gold.
Yeah, like Norfolk State. Yeah, we. Okay, yeah. You know, even if they only heard of it because of Michael Vick or whatever the case is, now when they look into Rob Jones, look into men's basketball, they're like, oh, you know, damn, they're pretty good, you know, and stuff like that. So, you know, it's a lot of different layers to that situation.
And Rob, once before we wrap up, I want to give you a message from one of your BK brothers from Albany State. Coach Patrick Gale told me to tell you what's up. He's a big fan of yours. We want to big up you when he wants me to tell you that he's cheering for you. He loves what you're doing as his fellow BK brother.
Oh, man. Tell him what's up, man. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that. You know, when you're from New York City, man, it's like New York pulls from New York now. You know what I mean? It's like so because I say that is, and I'm sure like Atlanta pulls for Atlanta, but because it's like some of these areas so hard to make it out of. So it's like if you got somebody out there that's doing something from your area or doing something that's close to your area, you're going to pull for them because you know how hard it is to make it out of some of these areas, some of these neighborhoods, some of these things like that, to make it to a stage that most people from that area or that neighborhood are not making it to. So it's always a good thing, man. So shout out to him, too.
No doubt. Well, folks, that's my man, Rob Jones, on the Boss Man Show. Tomorrow, big game is Howard. Check those guys out and always behold the green and gold. Rob, good to talk to you, my brother.
Appreciate you, bro.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews. You name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.